This goes out to the AVS fam, to the crew getting ready at the Pepsi can. DJ Triple T banging thunder with the high jams. My dog Bernie Yan smiles in the West stands.
The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by FSFAM.com, AVSFAM.com.
Guys, we suck. We really, really do. We can play some good hockey at times, but more often than not, we'll find a way to make that good hockey irrelevant and easily forgotten. And when we lose, it makes you, me, us miserable with anger and often hatred even. Sometimes even at each other. As if it's going to make anything better, right? So seriously, what the fuck is that all about? No, seriously, have you ever stopped to think, why does a hockey team losing make us all so miserable? Raise your hand right now if you're a behavioral psychology geek, just like me. Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? No? Okay, well, I wonder these things, and it's fascinating to me, so we're going to talk about it. Well, if you're a geek like me, and you wonder why we're so emotionally invested in a team, and why we crave sports, and if that's really a good thing at all, then you're in the right place. The short answer is that humans are social creatures who want to be a part of something that is bigger than themselves. It's just what we do as humans. Being a fan of a sport is an easy way to cheer with thousands, if not millions, of other fans for something that you have in common with them. The one thing most people have in common. It brings people together who otherwise wouldn't be together. And for that reason, it's fascinating. Think of anything else in this world that can bring that many people together to agree on one thing for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is. I mean, let's face it, there is plenty in this world right now to be divided about, right? The 2016 election has us divided in the United States like nothing I've ever seen in my life. Yet a sports venue is likely full of both Democrats and Republicans who are cheering for the same team. They're on the same team at that very moment. And in that small corner of reality, they can come together under that same umbrella of sports to scream and yell and shrug and triumph and drink beer through a cast of modern-day gladiators fighting it out right in front of them. Now, for some, sports fills a hole in their life. It's a vacancy of sorts. Maybe you work so much that you can't go out and be social all the time. Maybe you love the idea of knowing that win or lose, there's always going to be another game, another chance. Maybe that brings you happiness. But what happens when your team is bad? I mean really bad. Worst in the league and still falling bad. In the last 5 years or so, fans have started gathering on Twitter and a few other social media sites to live tweet or at least react in real time to games that hundreds of thousands of others are watching at the same time from all corners of the earth. It's truly amazing. And it's not uncommon for my team's fans to be watching from Paris, Germany, Russia, New Zealand, even the Philippines. Fans are tuning in from anywhere they can watch the game in the world. Some fans are up at 2 a.m. to watch the game, while others are sneaking the game in at work on their computers at 9 a.m. When your team is winning, it's euphoric, and that feeling is multiplied by others giving you likes, retweets, camaraderie, but when it gets bad, it gets ugly. Suddenly people with names like Wildan_69 are lashing out at the same people they were just cheering with, and at times even yelling at them as if that can do anything about the play on the ice. The anonymity and the anger combine to make an ugly, ugly thing that we call trolls. Trolls are nasty little creatures who will tear you limb from limb without ever showing their face. They are actively looking to pick fights with people just to make themselves feel better. Another bit of science we should dig into one day. So if the pain of losing is so bad that you lash out and transform yourself into a troll at other people and random strangers online to feel better, I think it's fair to say that we humans, we fans, are starting to rely more and more and possibly too much on sports for our happiness. I know firsthand that if the Colorado Avalanche lose a hockey game, I'm blue. I'm borderline depressed even. I'm even grumpy sometimes to the point that it makes me short with my own family. Not mean, but noticeably on edge. That's crazy. There's no way that it's healthy, and to a certain extent, that's all on us, or in this case, me. When the shit hits the fan with our sports teams, we get to decide how that makes us feel and how we want to react, and how we want to react to other people even. Again, more science we should dig into someday on Stoic philosophy. But seriously, what the hell is that? How can I let the game of hockey, which I'm not even playing in, get me happy or sad or upset or euphoric? It's just entertainment. Yet somehow, the feeling that I assume that the guys have on the ice or that I assume the guys are having in the locker room is how I assume I should feel. That's crazy talk right there. It hasn't always been that way, right? I mean, what did people do before sports for their entertainment? Did the oldie moldies of yesterday get mad at the radio when their talkies didn't go the way they wanted? Did they immediately start shitting on each other? Because that's what we're doing. I mean, did dad get mad at mom when he couldn't get the crossword puzzle right in the paper that day? Is this just an extension of what's always been happening in the human condition? Or is this new tech-driven social society truly different and a different beast altogether, creating these ugly trolls as fast as Twitter accounts can be made? I mean, maybe this is just a reinvestment of emotion. I mean, everybody's emotionally invested as a human, but now we reinvest that in something new because it's so easy to watch a game. Either on your TV or on your phone or on your computer, you can always catch the game. It's an easy thing to attach yourself to. I'm truly fascinated by the social experiment that is social media and sports right now. I find myself refreshing my Twitter feed almost automatically every 5 seconds when there's a game on. And when there's a goal scored and people watching on TV know about it 30 seconds before I do because I'm watching on my computer, it pisses me off as if somehow they got to live it before I did, and that's not fair. Believe me, I know that's stupid, but there is no denying that social media interaction has become a part of the fan experience and sports. And I think we're just getting started, to be honest. I think that we'll start to see Twitter and Twitter-like elements baked into the sports broadcasting on our TVs as they become smart and enabled. Once that monopoly of broadcast rights is fully dissolved, like the music industry, we'll see innovation that will merge the social interactions with the live broadcasts, and millions will be in the same place at the same time, for better or for worse. There will be groups of fans that gather for a pregame, like a virtual tailgate. They'll create little cliques where you have to be invited to be in that virtual world, and you can be kicked out of that virtual world if they don't like you. Fewer and fewer fans are going to attend these overpriced in-person games, and it's going to become a brave new world that will come with a lot of new elements that we as humans may or may not be ready for. So far, the social experiment of sports has shown that we humans, when given anonymity and no consequence, will turn on each other like hungry dogs when things don't go our way. We'll trash those around us who don't agree with our stances, like trade them all and blow it up, and we'll ridicule them without ever having to show our faces. Let's be honest, most of the Mad Dog tweeps wouldn't say the things that they say online in person. True, there are a certain breed of people who are just as horrible in real life, but for the most part, most aren't, and they wouldn't attack you like they do face to face, because a lot of them would get punched in the face. So after wiggling down that long and windy rabbit hole, I still don't think that I know exactly why we care so much about sports that we're not at, we're not playing in, and nobody has any skin in, but I do have a few guesses. So number one, we covered, being a part of something bigger than you makes you feel good because you're part of the tribe, you're part of the clan, you belong. Number two, we all want attention. Some of us want it so badly that we will tweet about how little we care about getting attention just to get that attention and confirmation that others want attention. Number three, we live through our heroes, aka our memes, both living and virtual, by the way. When the players do good, we get a dopamine hit just like they do, and it feels awesome. The first few highs are so good that we spend the rest of our time chasing that dragon, usually only to be disappointed. Number four, we associate our worth as humans with the things that we own and the things that we endorse. Some of us drive a fancy car, and some of us spend a ton of money on wardrobes. Some of us wear an expensive watch, or some of us just have a sticker on the back of our car that says native or 13.3. Because we want you to know who we are and what we're all about, and there's no easier way to show you what we're all about than to be under the umbrella of a sports team, to have the logo, to have the colors, to have the jersey, to have the shirt. By the same logic, some of us cheer for our college team for the rest of our lives. We wear their pajamas like a proud soldier. We flaunt the things that we believe in and put value in to show our status and that we believe in something bigger than ourselves. We buy jerseys with our memes' names on them to show we approve and should be associated with that player and everything that they do on site. It's a fascinating, fascinating thing. It really is. Number five, we don't really have much else to do we? Some of us, anyways. We don't work on the farm from sun up to sundown anymore. We say we're busy, but how many nights do we end with Netflix, and how many mornings do we start with going to a job that we don't like, to do things we'd rather not do with people we really don't like, to pay for a house we can't afford, and all the stuff that we don't really need? So we tune into sports so that we can live through the people that we see on TV and share the experience with whoever will listen to us online. Regardless of the science or philosophy behind becoming so emotionally invested in sports teams, we know it's real and we crave it like carbs. But I think it's also fair to say that we need to have a little bit better awareness of how we interact with our sports these days. Technology will sneak up on you in a hurry, and before you know it, the idea of watching a football game or a hockey game without social media will feel wrong. You'll feel naked without your portal to the like-minded fans around the world who share in your happiness, pain, hate, and euphoria. So look, these are just some thoughts. We're not scientists. We don't play scientists on the internet either. But there are some things here that maybe you didn't think about, and maybe you should. That's all we're saying. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, AvsFam.com. Really awesome hockey shirts for really awesome hockey people. You should go check them out because you're awesome. If you like this podcast, tell your friends about it, and then go to iTunes and search for Colorado Hockey. Click on subscribe, and it'll be in your pocket the next time that you want to hear a podcast, no sooner, no later. Or you could just go to the ColoradoHockey.com website, click on the button that says get it on iTunes, and click subscribe.
Is that McCann Cheesy?
Stay awesome.